Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Study of God podcast. This is episode number 57. And I want to say to you that God is real. I know him personally. He knows me personally. I know that may sound shocking and it may sound arrogant, but it's real, people. God is alive and well. Jesus Christ died for our sins because of his love, was buried, and rose on the third day. That is a biblical fact, and that is a historical fact. And right now, Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And I believe God and Jesus Christ, excuse me, and I say this respectfully, are sitting on the edge of their thrones because they love you so much, pulling for me and others to preach the gospel to you, and pulling for you to receive the gospel and trust Christ as Savior. In other words, God and Jesus Christ want you to be saved from hell more than you want to be saved. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'm telling you what I know personally. That is my witness to you. I cannot deny what God has done for me. What Jesus Christ has done for me. And I would rather die than to deny my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's a fact. And there are many other Christians who feel the same way. So this is not just about teaching you some abstract facts. This is about getting you to the point where you will trust Christ as Savior so that you can personally know God and God will personally know you. I just came out of prayer and I just had to tell you that. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast is designed to give you a basic understanding, if it is even possible. But at least you can touch the hem of his garment, so to speak. A basic understanding of God, the Holy Bible, and Christian beliefs. And that's big. All of this is big. Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost said, "There is no higher activity in which the mind may be engaged than the pursuit of the knowledge of God." Let's start out reading the Word of God itself, as we should. Today's passage of Holy Scripture is James 1:5, which reads, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Today's words from a theologian are from Dr. A.W. Tozer, who probably did not consider himself a theologian, but was a great writer and motivator and influencer for God in his time and even in our time. I read him much as a young Christian. He said that the Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into him, that they may delight in his presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God himself in the core and center of their hearts. And I believe that's kind of what I was trying to tell you at the beginning. You need to know God personally. And it is the highest privilege. My God, help me to help the people. It is the highest privilege known to mankind. I guarantee you, you will never regret it. That is, knowing God through Jesus Christ. It may get rough sometimes, but it's all right. You will have tribulation in this life, but be of good cheer. Jesus Christ said, I overcome the world. I overcame the world. Just trust in him. Believe in him. And do what Jesus said. Have faith in God. And everything will be all right. I wish I can stay there a while, but I must move on. I'm so moved by the Holy Ghost. Don't let that frighten you. Just trust Christ as Savior. You'll understand it by and by. And by the way, I am, interestingly, being moved, it seems, to use the word, the two words, Holy Ghost, even more than Holy Spirit, as I have. And the only reason why I believe at this time I can say is because I want you to see the Holy Spirit as a real person. And so maybe using the word Holy Ghost, which is biblical, will help you to image in your mind that it is a person there helping you. His name is the Holy Ghost. Some of you people, I don't love to watch these shows, but you love to watch these semi-factual shows about haunted houses all year round, not only on Halloween, how people in their house see ghosts, and some are scared of the ghosts, and evidently some are friendly, like friendly the Casper the Friendly Ghost. But there is the person of the Holy Ghost, and you need to, once you trust Christ as Savior, allow him to have his way in your life. He is a person. And for some of you, maybe if you use the word ghost, you can get a hold of that better. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all free. Has nothing to do with this study. So let's get into that. Our topic for today is titled Theology of Paul, Part 1, from the Moody Handbook of Theology by Dr. Paul Innes. Dr. Paul Innes writes, and continues, with the introduction to Pauline theology, background, and training. Paul was born about A.D. 3 to a prestigious family whose members were Roman citizens living in the city of Tarsus. Paul was raised in a strict Jewish home, circumcised the eighth day, and was of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was later trained in Jerusalem under Gamaliel, a Pharisee and respected member of the Sanhedrin. Gamaliel was only one of seven scholars in his nation's history to receive the title Rabban, our master. Gamaliel was a grandson of Hillel, founder of the school of interpretation bearing his name. Hillel was less strict than the school of Shammai. Paul himself became a Pharisee, adhering strictly to Jewish law and customs. It was this intense loyalty to Judaism and the traditions of the elders that caused him to persecute the Christians. He did this with a pure conscience at first. Later, he interpreted his action as blasphemy. Outline of travels and ministry. Following his conversion to Christ in late AD 33 or early 34, Paul spent several months in Damascus when his opponent sought his death. He returned to Jerusalem. Shortly thereafter, he departed for his hometown of Tarsus. He spent 3 years in Arabia, probably in some form of ministry, in as much as he began to serve immediately after his conversion. After the 3 years, he returned to Jerusalem and then departed for Syria and Cilicia, about AD 46. Paul again visited Jerusalem. It was at Antioch that the church set Paul and Barnabas apart for the first missionary journey. During that journey, the duo evangelized Asia Minor and the island of Cyprus. It was in Asia Minor that Paul began a ministry to Gentiles when the Jews repudiated the gospel. Paul's typical pattern was established an initial proclamation to Jews and Gentile adherents to Judaism, whether full proselytes or more loosely associated, and then being refused further audience in the synagogue, a direct ministry among Gentiles. The Jerusalem Council took place in AD 49. And resolved an important issue. It enabled Paul and others to keep preaching the gospel to Gentiles without Jewish encumbrances. Gentiles were not required to be circumcised. The decision was important in maintaining the purity of the gospel and separating law from grace. The second missionary journey took place in Silas across Asia Minor, where they revisited the churches and on to Europe. The third missionary journey, AD 53-57, took Paul to Ephesus. The third missionary journey, AD 53-57, took Paul to Ephesus, where he spent nearly 3 years, and on to Macedonia and Achaia. He was arrested in Jerusalem upon his return and imprisoned in Caesarea, AD 58-60. Paul appealed to Caesar and eventually spent 2 years in prison in Rome, AD 61-63. Paul was released from his first Roman imprisonment, spent AD 66 in ministry, probably traveling as far as Spain, and was again arrested and executed in Rome in AD 67. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, thank you for the life of your servant Paul. One single life that glorified you and glorified Jesus Christ, that shook the world, that turned the world upside down, and that influence we still feel today. And so, Lord, help everybody to remember the old saying that one with God is the majority. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Beloved, before we close, I want to remind you that while it is important to engage in the study of God, it is far more important that you have a relationship with God. I fear that there are many people who will die knowing a lot about God, but not really knowing God. You don't want to be in that number. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to get to know Him today, here's how. Accept the fact that you are a sinner, and that you have broken God's law at some point in your life. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Jesus Christ. If He is not your Savior, that's where you're headed, according to the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states very clearly in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Yes, I know, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said Himself in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, because if you are still living in this world, God loves you. So for God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, that includes you, believeth in Him, trusts in Him, has faith in Him, Jesus Christ, should not perish in a place called hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him in heaven. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Dear friend, pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and He will. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you until we meet again.